Good morning. Andy is taking the day off today. Our friend, the porch deck and porch specialist from Lindus Construction, Luke Panic, is back with us once again. Luke, good morning. Nice to have you back.
Good morning, Danny. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. We have a few showers going on here around these parts, but they should be ending sometime later on this afternoon, just scattered stuff. But I hope you're doing well, and I was thinking, too, that it's been a while since you've been on CCO Radio with us, filling in for Andy. And for those, we always get new listeners from time to time, and we're grateful for that. Maybe you could shed a little light on your background. We call you the deck and porch specialist, but you're much more than that. You've built your own home. You grew up in this business. Give us a little sketch of what your background is for the new listeners.
Sure. As I've told you before, I got started at a young age. My father and my grandfather were home builders, and I started my apprenticeship when I was about three in 1978. And, we did everything. Back then, builders didn't sub everything out. They did the concrete work. They did the framing work. The sheetrock, the insulation, everything. The only subs we had on the jobs when I was a kid was the electrician, the plumber, and the HVAC contractor. So at a young age, I got introduced to this stuff, and growing up, and it really didn't want anything to do with it. So I couldn't wait to go to college so I would never have to be part of a construction project again. And after being in an office for a few years with my new degree, I learned that I needed to be involved with construction. So where I got involved with decks and porches is that I ran a deck and porch company for about 10 years, and then I joined Lindus to help them with that division. But along the way, built many homes myself with my family, and still to this day do that. I built my own house here a few years ago, and then the last probably 7 or 8 years I've got into renovating cabins and doing rentals. And so right now we're doing a brand new build on Lake Vermilion. So I'm in the midst of a brand new build right now. It's what I'm doing this weekend. It's raining, and we just got the roof dried in, and we'll be setting some Marvin Infinity windows here today, and with my father and my sons doing a family project. And so I seem to be drawn back into it despite my ambitions of getting away from it.
Meant to be. Well, you mentioned a great product, those Infinity Marvin Infinity windows. Great product. If you're just joining us, Luke Panic, the deck and porch specialist, among other things, at Lindus Construction, here to answer questions. It can be about decks. I would urge our listeners, if you do have a deck and or porch question, take advantage of Luke's presence today. 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. You can call it in or you can text it in, whichever works for you, to get a question to Luke. You know, I'm thinking about over the years, Luke, you and I and Andy, answering the questions about, constant questions about which stain do you recommend? How can I clean this deck and stain this? Which one? We hardly ever get questions about types of stain anymore.
What happened to those? We talked about Pennafin ad nauseum and found out it's a little bit harder to get for most people. And so, I have been trying new products. Myself up here on the cabin, I redid a deck here this spring with Pennafin. I sanded it all down to bare wood and got it all done with Pennafin, and it looks good. I've also used and mentioned that the Cabot's, the new product that Cabot came out with, their Australian timber oil, used that product, and that has been really good as well. So that was a little more easier to get. You can get it at Menards or hardware stores seem to carry it.
Well, that's
easier
good
to work with and easier to find. But like always, and we've talked, it seems to be number one to get people away from trying to chemical strip and do sanding, so that you get the pores of the wood opened up so you can get a really good coat on something and an even finish. That seems to be the best way to do it, and that's the way I do it myself. I sand everything down and put a product on either the Pennafin or that Australian timber oil. Seems to work really well.
No, Luke, by the way, Luke Panik is with us this morning. He was just joining us, filling in for Andy Lindis. When you get, when Lindis and you get calls from customers wanting a new deck or maybe a different type of railing system, whatever the case may be, are there any, because you and I have talked about the real wood before, are people still requesting some type of wood for their deck?
Not really. It's pretty rare. It seems to have almost completely gone away. And I think part of it is because it used to be attractive for the cost savings. But, you know, if we use a really good wood product compared to just cheap treated wood, if we use good wood for a deck, it's not much of a difference between an entry-level synthetic decking anymore. So it's unusual that someone would want that. Just for the fear, the headache of taking care of it, and keeping it look nice, where the synthetics are just, you know, give them a bath once or twice a year and they stay looking so much better. So I think that's probably why.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's grab a phone call. Luke, Ed calling in this morning from Maplewood. Ed, thank you for your call. What's your question for Luke?
Yeah, hi, Luke. I'm trying to renovate a concrete porch and make it look better. It's about 38 feet wide by 6 foot deep, and it's just bare concrete. And I'd like to cover it with outdoor porcelain tile or slate. And I just wonder if you had any experience with that, and you know, underlayment products you could recommend, or you know, the type of mortar. And I just wonder if you had any experience with that, and you know, underlayment products you could recommend, or you know, the type of mortar, and how will it hold up with our winters?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ed. You know, I have not done that myself. It certainly can be done. I see it from time to time. I think the big thing would be prepping that concrete well, getting it cleaned really well, and if there's any cracks, getting them filled. And then there would be a specific thin set that you would use to set those tiles in. I would not know exactly what thin set that is, but wherever you bought your slate or your tile would be able to give you advice. If you go to any sort of home improvement store, you're going to see different kinds of thin set, all different kinds of thin set, from, you know, $20 a bag to $75 a bag. And usually the difference between those thin sets that you're setting tile in is the resilience to movement and expansion and contraction. So I would read the bag or talk with somebody there in that department and find out what's the best thin set to use. That would be the determining factor, or what would be different about it than just normal inside tile. But it can definitely be done and look great, and it's a great way to cover up concrete that's maybe seen its better days. So that's a good project and a fun one for sure.
And that porcelain tile is good stuff, isn't it? Especially for our Minnesota weather.
Yeah, outside, I don't know that porcelain would be the thing. Usually porcelain is really, really smooth, so probably not porcelain. You want something with some texture. Like that natural slate would be good. That's got good grip on the feet, and it's a little bit more coarse. So I think slate would be a great product to use. And then I'm sure there are, tile that you can buy that are that have a little bit more texture to them, that are tough for outside use. But it seems like every time I've seen a porcelain product, it's really, really smooth. I use porcelain in tubs and showers and things like that because they clean so well, but I don't know that that'd be great for outside.
I put in some porcelain many, many years ago in a porch with a concrete sub, and it's not slippery, at least this stuff.
Okay,
was.
Good.
Yeah, so okay. Maybe some of it can be. But, yeah, good point, though. Luke, we need to take a quick break. Let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. Any kind of a home improvement question, especially if you have a question about decks and or porches, 651-461-9226. 69 degrees now, few showers out there. From Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show. Denny Long here and filling in for Andy Lindis this morning is the deck and porch specialist from Lindis Construction, Luke Panik, welcoming any kind of a home improvement question you may have, especially, as I mentioned, decks, decking, porches, things like that. Luke, here's another text that came in a bit ago. Good morning, Denny and Luke. We own a duplex and each unit has a deck one story above the walkout basement. One unit's deck has pulled away from the building. We have to decide, do we simply remove the deck or replace it? What do you think does a deck do for rentability or saleability? Different question.
Well, I think it's, I think it's huge. And it sounds like if it's pulled away from the house, it's probably a failed ledger connection of some sort, which may mean that the wood is rotten behind there. So I think that it's important to probably remove that deck and start over, because you got to take that ledger board off and see what kind of condition the wood is behind it. So on that topic, I think it should be fully replaced. Rentability and saleability of a deck is huge where we live, because people know that decks are not cheap anymore, and they're more complicated oftentimes than people realize. And so they're expensive. So if somebody looks at a house and says, boy, this deck is all nice and ready to go, and they compare it to a house that has a deck that needs to be replaced, it's a significant cost for people. So they have a lot of value. There's a lot of resale value for a deck, because not necessarily that the house is going to appraise for that much more with a new deck compared to an old deck, but the cost of replacing it is expensive. So they have a lot of value to people. And we use our decks way more up here than other places in the country. So they have more value, because it's a common thing that everybody likes. We tend to want to be outside. We're cooped up all winter. And, as soon as we start smelling charcoal outside, we think about being out on the deck. So they do have more value where we live in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, for sure, than other places in the country.
Thinking about these, the weather we had last season, last fall, and I would imagine that that Lindus was really able to get a lot of decks finished, completed, given the weather. How about this particular year? A lot of rain this year.
A lot of rain. It's been very wet, and I can attest to that. I've had a lot of muddy boots, and it, we're about 16 weeks out for our deck backlog. It's pretty typical. And last year, you're right, we were able to get all of our decks done, meaning we started fresh in the spring. We didn't have any decks to do until we were able to clean up all of our backlog in the winter, which we are usually not able to do. Who knows? Who knows what this winter will bring? If it'll be, if we'll get a Halloween snowstorm like we did in '91, or if we're going to be able to work all winter again, we just don't know. But I know our crews sure like it when we can keep going. And other than the shorter days, having nice weather and no snow, not much snow to deal with, we kept going. And that was true for a lot of our divisions, not just the deck division.
Sure. And I would imagine, too, as you and I talk about this time of year, and by the way, Andy and I will be on the deck at the State Fair at our broadcast center 1 week from today. But as far as folks wanting a new deck, they could get things lined up. This is the beginning, kind of the beginning of planning for next year, isn't it?
It is. This is the time of year that we get a lot of people, especially around State Fair time, making a move on a lot of different home improvement projects. I know Andy gets excited for the State Fair and always offers our best, absolute best pricing of the year during the State Fair. So we have free install on a lot of our products. But it's a great time to plan for the spring, for sure.
No sooner did I mention that we don't get a lot of questions about staining a wooden deck or prepping. Here comes a text. It says, good morning. Question about restaining a large cedar deck. I put Sikkens on it 5 years ago, and it has worn off in places. The retailer of the product says I don't have to remove it and go over it. I guess it's kind of like the Pennafin, right? I mean, as I recall the directions, you clean up your deck, use the proper prep, and then you can kind of go over it, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, for sure. As long as you're using the same product, there's no question you can just clean it up and fix up the areas that are light and use the same product again. That's absolutely a possibility. It's oftentimes, especially Sikkens, it's not a cheap product. If you recoat it while it still looks good, you're going to save yourself a lot of headaches. So you're far better off to do it a year early than you are to do it a year late, as far as the prep work that you'd have to do It's the difference between just having to wash it off and recoating it, and or having to, you know, do sanding where it's already stripped off completely and turned gray. So, yeah, should be able to use the same product. And like I said, next time I wouldn't go 5 years. Maybe I'd go 3 years, put a coat on it, and stay ahead of it. And the job is much, much easier.
Luke, prior to putting another coat of Sickens on, would you use a brightener conditioner to clean things up and then dry it off?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing to use. You've used it. I've used it. It really does a wonders for a deck. In fact, the one I did up here on Lake Vermilion here this spring, I did exactly that. I did some sanding, but then before I did an addition on it. So I had some brand new wood next to some old wood. And so after I did the sanding, I put that brightener on it, and it made all the wood look a lot more even in color, and so that when I put the penitent down, it gave it a more even finish. So that brightener conditioner is a great product.
Does work. Hang on, Luke. We're going to take a break and see what that forecast looks like for the rest of the weekend and this coming week. And we'll be back with more. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, especially decks, decking, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO.
Anything?
And welcome back to our Home Improvement Show this morning. Luke Panic is in for Andy Lindis this morning. We're talking, any kind of a home improvement question, but again, zeroing in on decks and decking, porches, if you like. Luke, we've got texters, and let's open up the phone lines, too, if someone would prefer to call 651-461-9226. Text for you, Luke. How do you protect wood stairs to the porch and keep them from being slippery in the winter?
In Minnesota, that's a tough thing to do. If they're not covered, then they need to be cleaned a lot. The snow and ice wants to run off the roof, of course, and get on there, so... And that's a tough job. You know, if you let it freeze and then trying to get the ice off of a deck, it's hard to get the ice off without damaging it. If you put salt on it, then it wants to hard, you know, that's tough on the finish. So it's a tall order. I don't have any secrets for that. If it is a way to get an overhang where you can cover the stairway, that's obviously the best. But having a good product that, again, you stay on top of recoating areas that get a lot of water pressure. In fact, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine, Brian. He's got a deck where he recoated his deck up here with a product called Restore from Cabot's. And I asked him about how that's holding up. I've never heard of Restore. It's a real thick product. And where the water is running off his roof, it's damaging that one board where the rain line is. And so that's oftentimes a board that needs to be done every year because of the water pressure that comes on there. If you don't have a good gutter or something on there, the water pressure really hurts it. That's the same as the staircase. Wherever water comes down and drips and drips and drips, those boards need to be done every single year, I think, in order to keep them looking good.
Yeah, like you said, it's a tough question to answer as far as keeping, unless it's, like you said, enclosed. And I assume, because I've used it, that 3M, you know, that black sticky stuff that's kind of a grit, like sandpaper, but that was an interior wooden stairs.
Yes.
But you can't really use that outside, I presume.
No. I was at a house in northern Wisconsin one time, 2 or 3 years ago, and this person on their front steps had the same type of thing where they were dealing with. It was slippery out their front door. And they've had these, I don't know who made them or what they're for, but they were like little tread mats that they put on the treads, and they were connected with wires that you fasten them to each other, and they were meant for walking on, and they heated. So they would thaw and stay warm. And, you know, they weren't by any means beautiful, okay, but they were great on the feet to walk on, and they were designed specifically for handling that. So I haven't used them, and I don't know where to get them, but I'm sure a couple of Google searches, and you can find it where you kind of like the heating elements, heated wires of some sort. They're electric, and you plug them in, and you can keep your deck thawed if you don't mind the look of them.
If you're just joining us, Luke Panik, filling in for Andy Lindis today. Luke is the deck and port specialist with Lindis Construction. If you have a question about decks or decking, especially today, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Speaking of slipperiness, what kind of products on the decks that Lindis is installing now, of course, the one Andy talks about all the time, is it not slippery? What materials that are you guys are putting on decks now?
Well, probably the best one for grip on the feet is a product that we use called Millboard. And that has a rubber. Yeah, that is a rubber surface that has a really good wood grain in it, texture wise. And it's actually, that particular product is embossed with a oak texture from real oak boards. And it's great on the feet. I would say then you've got your other composites like AZEC, which feels more plasticky because it's a polyethylene product. That is good too, but does not handle the ice or the wintertime as good as the Millboard. And any of your, all of your synthetics, everyone, by the way, has to meet a tread standard for ADA. So to be a walking surface for outside use, they all need to meet that requirement. So they're all going to have some sort of a grip to them so they're not slippery. But some are still better than others. You know, just, and it's pretty obvious when you're looking at these samples and you rub your hand on them, or you can put them on the ground and step on them, move your feet around on them, you can tell a difference in them for sure.
Yeah, Andy loves that Millboard, and I guess you do too. Yeah, and we talk about it a lot.
I do.
If you have a question for Luke, 651-461-9226, phone call or text. Here's a text. Listener says, I have a wood shed. Instead of painting it, can I use that Australian oil stain you spoke of?
Absolutely. Since it's wood, it would be the same prep, you know, it'd be the same prep that you would do for a deck floor. You want to, if you're not going back with the same product, you're going to want to get it all off. So getting it cleaned or sanded so that it's ready to accept that new coating. It would be the same advice, except, you know, on a surface like that, it's going to last much, much longer. You're going to get a lot more life out of it because it's, you know, water's not sitting on it. It gets to dry out and it doesn't have the friction from feet and traffic. So, but yeah, absolutely the same process for recoating a woodshed like that.
You know, we talk about, Luke, the leaf guard gutter system, and I know it's not your particular department. You know a lot about them. But a listener wants to know, is there how long of a waiting period would you guess could Lindis put some new leaf guard gutters on a home this year, if that's possible? You have any idea?
Actually, now, we're I think it's about 14 weeks out right now for putting on gutters, which puts us in the winter. But we've been putting up the leaf guard gutters most winters all year long now. And sometimes we have to come back in the spring to use proper sealants and flashing if there's a little ice on the edge of the roof. But we're able to pretty much install them year round. So it's not a problem, and it's not too long of a wait.
Well, that's good to know. That's good news. Interesting question I'm looking at now via the text. When does a house become a teardown? The house was built in the 1950s and has had no updates or remodeling. It's been on the market for many months. What do you think of that one?
Well, that's probably a real estate question more than it is a construction question, because one of the things, and, you know, I'd have to take a look at the house and determine what are the costs of doing that. And when is it a teardown? Well, you ask yourself, where is it located? Some, you know, if you're in the higher end areas of the Twin Cities, like say you're in Edina, a lot of those houses people buy, and they don't care what's on the lot. They just tear it down no matter what and build the house that they want. And some communities obviously aren't going to have that level of income standard. So it depends on where the house is located, I think, because what the ground is worth is something that needs to be considered. If the lot was empty, what is it worth? And what is it worth with that house sitting on it? Sometimes they're similar numbers. So it really is a question of where it's located more so than the condition of the house. In some places, it makes a lot of sense just to fix it up if the land isn't quite as valuable.
Yeah, that makes sense. Interesting enough, I'm looking at another text about a listener wants to get the Lindas to have them build the deck and gutters. And I guess the question is, and this comes from the wife, does the husband need to be around as well when the initial meeting takes place? I guess it helps.
Well, really, well, for sure. And if you think about it, a lot of times these home improvements are anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000. It's hard to make decisions on things by yourself. And the other thing, especially with Linda, said, you know, we do things a little bit differently. Almost always, we are able to, on that initial consultation, when we meet with somebody, we are able to put together everything, meaning we'll put together a design, we'll put together an estimate and diagnose what's wrong and go through products and colors and design. So really, it's impossible, most cases, to make any sort of good decisions on the project if both people aren't there. So we prefer to have everybody there so everybody can see what's going on. Otherwise, here's what happens is you go there and we talk about something and then we leave because the other person isn't there. And then there's all kinds of questions like, well what about this? What about that? Because the person didn't think to ask or that maybe wasn't a concern of theirs. And then they need to go back there anyway. So it's always best to have both people there. Sometimes it's not possible, and it is what it is, but it's always best to have both people there for sure.
That makes sense. I'm not going to mention the big box store names because all three of them are in this particular area, but the listener wants to know, would you use, I assume meaning Linda's, composite floor decking from the big box stores, I guess, versus what you use?
It depends. The millboard that we use, which is our top product, isn't available at any of the big box stores. Now, the other major name brands, TimberTech, AZEK, and Trex, those products are available at almost any lumber yard, whether big box store or small box. You know, those are available anywhere. So we do use products that are available at those stores from time to time. The higher-end products that are better built are not available at the big box store. So it just depends on the product. But, yeah, some of the products that we use are available at those stores you're mentioning.
Very good. Hang on, Luke. We'll take a quick break. Be right back for the remaining minutes of our Home Improvement Show, 651-461-9226. We'll grab some more text messages when we return here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. Filling in for Andy Lindis today is Luke Panic, the deck and porch specialist with Lindis Construction. Luke, I know our time is limited and we've got callers. We have texters. Let's see how many folks we can help before you take your leave. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Gary calling in from Minnetrista, I believe. Gary, thanks for calling. What is your question for Luke?
I built a redwood deck myself probably 50 years ago. The redwood deck part is in good shape. I've treated it frequently. But I use green treated posts to go down the 4 feet to the frost line. And they're starting to rot out, so my deck is sagging. I've had to prop it up with some blocks, you know, the stringers across the side. And I'm wondering what's the best way to fix that. It's only about 2 or 3 feet off the ground, so it's hard to get down there. Wonder if there's any magic to that, a repair to that.
Well, usually, and what's your name, sir?
That's Gary.
Yes.
Gary. So, Gary, one of the things that we could do nowadays is a lot of times, if it's a treated post, it's usually because it's in contact with the ground. If it's failed, and what we would typically do is, if the deck is all in good shape, we would put some temporary beams under that deck, and we would put new footings and new posts underneath it, and then level it as well. And we can actually put in a lot of cases, even though it's only 2 feet off the ground, we're able to put in a helical pier, which is a screw, if you will, for the earth that we screw down into the ground right next to the deck. And we can actually get it underneath there and put a new post on it. Excuse me. And so that's oftentimes what we would do. Sometimes we don't even have to remove the old footing because we can put it next to it. It just depends on the deck. But a lot of times we can do that and then stabilize that deck for another 50 years, no problem.
Well, that old redwood can really last a long time, can it?
It is. It's the best wood that's ever been made, in my opinion, and unfortunately we can't get it like that anymore. But that old redwood, I go on a few redwood decks every year that they're still great. They don't rot like cedar. They last a long time, and they can be sanded and refinished and look like new too. Yeah,
amazing. Listener says this via text: we used green treated deck boards to make a deck years ago. In the meantime, we have been staining it about every other year because nothing stays on it. Now we found out we were not to put any stain on green treated wood. What would be the best or easiest way to get rid of the stain? After that, do we do anything to it?
Yes, you can. And I've recoated many green treated wood, and it's a false assumption that you can't put a preservative or a stain on green treated wood. You just need to wait until it's dry enough to accept the stain. So green treated wood can definitely be treated, especially older treated wood. Just needs to be dry, then you can sand it and put a preservative on it for appearance. Anytime. And you're not doing it because you're preserving the life of the wood so much as you are having it be an attractive finish.
Okay. I'm looking at another text that says this, Luke. Just had a new deck built using Trex. We have a steel umbrella base that rusts. So what can we put under that to prevent the rust stains?
That's a tough one. I don't know. You can put down... What you should not do is put any sort of rubber that can react with the surface of the deck. So rubber is not the answer, but you could, you know, I don't know, possibly some sort of wood, maybe some wood, a treated wood slip sheet, like maybe 3/8 treated wood or marine plywood or something like that to provide some separation and catch that rust stain. But rust is tough. I mean, that will stain things like no other. So that's definitely a challenge. I would look to recoat or refinish that steel and that stand so that that rust doesn't leach out there, probably number one, and stay on top of that because rust is definitely an enemy of the deck for sure.
Here's a painting question for you, Luke. Texter says, I have an outside door with a window. The window has some sort of plastic trim. The paint on that trim piece is not adhering properly and peeling off. What can the plastic be treated with so the paint will stick? What do you think? Some kind of primer?
You know, we usually all, you know, I don't know, I assume this is a steel door. They usually have a plastic kind of casing that goes around the window, the insulated glass. Those can be painted. You use a latex product. A latex exterior paint is designed to adhere to, it's a vinyl extrusion is what that is. You can actually paint vinyl siding with latex paint. It should adhere fine. I think the bigger question is, again, just getting it nice and clean so that the paint can adhere to it. But it should stay. When we get new doors from Provia, the doors are pre-finished, and those casing trim around the sashes are all plastic or vinyl, and they come painted right from the factory, and that's what they use. They use a paint like that. So I don't think there's a a primer designed or meant for that. Latex paint is usually designed to go right on that plastic with PVC.
Yeah, that's a tough one, though. Interesting question here, Luke. I'm looking at via text. With how much more maintenance they are, why do you think decks are valued more than a patio?
Well, I can tell you for sure that they cost more to replace. Cement is, just pouring a cement patio is far less expensive. Materials, labor, everything is just cheaper. So that's why. They're just not as expensive to replace. They're dramatically less expensive. Oftentimes people will invite me out to their house and they have a situation where the deck is real close to the ground. And they want to put a deck in. And as much as I'd like to help them with the deck, a lot of times I'm advising people to put in a slab, a concrete slab. The other nice thing about a slab is that it's tight to the ground, so you don't have everybody's bunny rabbit wanting to live underneath your deck, because critters like to get underneath those cavities as well. And so you really need at least, in my opinion, you need to have at least a 24-inch drop from the threshold of your door to the ground before you start considering a deck, so that if you joist it with a 2x10, you've got you still got a foot of space underneath there for air and stuff to move. But again, that's a situation where, boy, it's just ideal for Peter Rabbit and his buddies to live underneath your house. So they typically, we skirt those to the ground so to keep the critters out of the way. But to answer the question, it's the replacement cost is just far less expensive than a deck.
Couple of minutes to go on the show, Luke. Good morning. This texter says, what are the current, you kind of touched on it earlier, what are the current composite preferences for decking?
Yeah, number one is millboard. And again, that's because of its appearance, its durability, and its grip on the feet. And then second, I would typically advise to use polyethylene product like AZEK. That doesn't have the sawdust mixed into it. All the products up here that contain sawdust are subject to swelling. And so I like to use boards. When you look at a sample, look at the end of the board and see if there's sawdust mixed in with the PVC. And if it is, I'd recommend using a different product, something that doesn't contain that organic material. They just hold up a lot better with the moisture and the humidity changes that we have here.
Minute to go, adding, what about the railing system that's available these days? What do you guys like at Lindus?
We've been using a manufacturer called RDI. We recently switched. We used to use a combination of either steel or aluminum railing. Now we've completely gotten away from the steel. We've had too many of them break down with rust, just like our previous caller talked about their umbrella. So we almost exclusively use railings now that are aluminum, and Fortress is a manufacturer that makes a good aluminum railing that's welded, and then RDI is another manufacturer you can Google that makes a good
right.
railing.
Sounds good, Luke, and it's always a pleasure. Great to have you back on the show again. I hope to talk to you soon, and we'll be with Andy 1 week today at the fair.
Very good. Danny, take care of yourself. It's good to hear you.
Thanks, Sue. Luke Panic from Lindus Construction. Yeah, Andy and I will be there right on the patio, our own patio, next Saturday from the Minnesota State Fair. Dennis, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Good morning. Andy is taking the day off today. Our friend, the porch deck and porch specialist from Lindus Construction, Luke Panic, is back with us once again. Luke, good morning. Nice to have you back.
Good morning, Danny. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. We have a few showers going on here around these parts, but they should be ending sometime later on this afternoon, just scattered stuff. But I hope you're doing well. And I was thinking, too, that it's been a while since you've been on CCO Radio with us, filling in for Andy. And for those, we always get new listeners from time to time. We're grateful for that. Maybe you could shed a little light on your background. We call you the deck and porch specialist, but you're much more than that. You've built your own home. You grew up in this business. Give us a little sketch of what your background is for the new listeners.
Sure. As I've told you before, I got started at a young age. My father and my grandfather were home builders, and I started my apprenticeship when I was about three. 1978. And, you know, we did everything. Back then, builders didn't sub everything out. They did the concrete work. They did the framing work. The sheetrock, the insulation, everything. The only subs we had on the jobs when I was a kid was the electrician, the plumber, and the HVAC contractor. So at a young age, I got introduced to this stuff and growing up, and it really didn't want anything to do with it. So I couldn't wait to go to college so I would never have to be part of a construction project again. And after being in an office for a few years with my new degree, I learned that I needed to be involved with construction. So where I got involved with Deck the Porches is that I ran a deck and porch company for about 10 years, and then I joined Lindus to help them with that division. But along the way, built many homes myself with my family, and still to this day do that. I built my own house here a few years ago, and then the last probably 7 or 8 years I've got into renovating cabins and doing rentals. And so right now we're doing a brand new build on Lake Vermilion. So I'm in the midst of a brand new build right now. It's what I'm doing this weekend. It's raining, and we just got the roof dried in, and we'll be setting some Marvin Infinity windows here today, and with my father and my sons doing a family project. And so I seem to be drawn back into it despite my ambitions of getting away from it.
Meant to be. Well, you mentioned a great product, those Infinity Marvin Infinity windows. Great product. If you're just joining us, Luke Panik, the deck and porch specialist, among other things, at Lindus Construction, here to answer questions. It can be about decks. I would urge our listeners, if you do have a deck and or porch question, take advantage of Luke's presence today. 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. You can call it in or you can text it in, whichever works for you, to get a question to Luke. You know, I'm thinking about, over the years, Luke, you and I and Andy, answering questions about, I mean, constant questions about which stain do you recommend? How can I clean this deck and stain this? Which one? We hardly ever get questions about types of stain anymore.
What happened to those? We talked about Pennafin at nauseam and found out it's a little bit harder to get for most people. And so, you know, I have been trying new products. Myself up here on the cabin, I redid a deck here this spring with Pennafin. I sanded it all down to bare wood and got it all done with Pennafin, and it looks good. I've also used and mentioned that the Cabot's, the new product that Cabot came out with, Cuss, their Australian timber oil, used that product, and that has been really good as well. So that was a little more easy to get. You can get it at Menards or hardware stores seem to carry it.
Well, that's
easier
good.
To work with and easier to find. But you know, like always, and we've talked, it seems to be number one to get people away from trying to strip chemical strip and do sanding, so that you get the pores of the wood opened up, so you can get a really good coat on something and an even finish. That seems to be the best way to do it, and that's the way I do it myself. I sand everything down and put a product on either the Pennafin or that Australian timber oil. Seems to work really well.
No, Luke, by the way, Luke Panik is with us this morning. He was just joining us, filling in for Andy Lindus. When Lindus and you get calls from customers wanting a new deck or maybe a different type of railing system, whatever the case may be, are there any... Because you and I have talked about the real wood before. Are people still requesting some type of wood for their deck?
Not really. It's pretty rare. It seems to have almost completely gone away. And I think part of it is because it used to be attractive for the cost savings. But, you know, if we use a really good wood product compared to just cheap treated wood, if we use good wood for a deck, it's not much of a difference between an entry-level synthetic decking anymore. So it's unusual that someone would want that, just for the fear, the headache of taking care of it and keeping it look nice, where the synthetics are just, you know, give them a bath once or twice a year and they stay looking so much better. So I think that's probably why.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's grab a phone call, Luke. Ed, calling in this morning from Maplewood. Ed, thank you for your call. What's your question for Luke?
Yeah, hi, Luke. I'm trying to renovate a concrete porch and make it look better. It's about 38 feet wide by 6 foot deep, and it's just bare concrete. And I'd like to cover it with outdoor porcelain tile or slate. And I just wondering if you had any experience with that, and underlayment products you could recommend, or the type of mortar. And how will it hold up with our winters?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ed. I have not done that myself. It certainly can be done. I see it from time to time. I think the big thing would be prepping that concrete well, getting it cleaned really well, and if there's any cracks, getting them filled. And then there would be a specific thin set that you would use to set those tiles in. I would not know exactly what thin set that is, but wherever you bought your slate or your tile would be able to give you advice. If you go to any sort of home improvement store, you're going to see different kinds of thin set, all different kinds of thin set, from, $20 a bag to $75 a bag. And usually the difference between those thin sets that you're setting tile in is the resilience to movement and expansion and contraction. So I would read the bag or talk with somebody there in that department and find out what's the best thin set to use. That would be the determining factor, or what would be different about it than just normal inside tile. But it can definitely be done and look great, and it's a great way to cover up concrete that's maybe seen its better days. So that's a good project and a fun one for sure.
And that porcelain tile is good stuff, isn't it? Especially for our Minnesota weather.
Yeah, outside, I don't know that porcelain would be the thing. Usually porcelain is really, really smooth, so probably not porcelain. You want something with some texture. Like that natural slate would be good. That's got good grip on the feet, and it's a little bit more coarse. So I think slate would be a great product to use. And then I'm sure there are tile that you can buy that are that have a little bit more texture to them, that are tough for outside use. But it seems like every time I've seen a porcelain product, it's really, really smooth. I use porcelain in tubs and showers and things like that because they clean so well, but I don't know that that'd be great for outside.
I put in some porcelain many, many years ago in a porch with a concrete sub, and it's not slippery, at least this stuff.
Okay,
was.
Good.
Yeah, so okay. Maybe some of it can be. But, yeah, good point, though. Luke, we need to take a quick break. Let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. Any kind of a home improvement question, especially if you have a question about decks and or porches, 651-461-9226. 69 degrees now, few showers out there. From Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show. Denny Long here and filling in for Andy Lindis this morning is the deck and porch specialist from Lindis Construction, Luke Panic, welcoming any kind of a home improvement question you may have, especially, as I mentioned, decks, decking, porches, things like that. Luke, here's another text that came in a bit ago. Good morning, Denny and Luke. We own a duplex, and each unit has a deck one story above the walkout basement. One unit's deck has pulled away from the building. We have to decide, do we simply remove the deck or replace it? What do you think does a deck do for rentability or saleability? Different question.
Well, I think it's, I think it's huge. And it sounds like if it's pulled away from the house, it's probably a failed ledger connection of some sort, which may mean that the wood is rotten behind there. So I think that it's important to probably remove that deck and start over, because you got to take that ledger board off and see what kind of condition the wood is behind it. So on that topic, I think it should be fully replaced. Rentability and saleability of a deck is huge where we live, because people know that decks are not cheap anymore, and they're more complicated oftentimes than people realize. And so they're expensive. So if somebody looks at a house and says, boy, this deck is all nice and ready to go, and they compare it to a house that has a deck that needs to be replaced, it's a significant cost for people. So they have a lot of value. There's a lot of resale value for a deck, because not necessarily that the house is going to appraise for that much more with a new deck compared to an old deck, but the cost of replacing it is expensive. So they have a lot of value to people. And we use our decks way more up here than other places in the country. So they have more value because it's a common thing that everybody likes. We tend to want to be outside. We're cooped up all winter. And, you know, as soon as we start smelling charcoal outside, we think about being out on the deck. So they do have more value where we live in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area for sure than other places in the country.
Just thinking about these, the weather we had last season, last fall, and I would imagine that that Lindus was really able to get a lot of decks finished, completed, given the weather. How about this particular year? A lot of rain this year.
A lot of rain. It's been very wet, and I can attest to that. I've had a lot of muddy boots, and it, you know, we're about 16 weeks out for our deck backlog. It's pretty typical. And last year, you're right, we were able to get all of our decks done, meaning we started fresh in the spring. We didn't have any decks to do until you know, we were able to clean up all of our backlog in the winter, which we are usually not able to do. Who knows, you know, who knows what this winter will bring, if it'll be, if we'll get a Halloween snowstorm like we did in 91, or if we're going to be able to work all winter again, we just don't know. But I know our crews sure like it when we can keep going, and other than the shorter days, having nice weather and no snow, not much snow to deal with it, we kept going, and that was true for a lot of our divisions, not just the deck division.
Sure. And I would imagine, too, as you and I talk about this time of year, and by the way, Andy and I will be on the deck at the State Fair at our broadcast center 1 week from today. But as far as folks wanting a new deck, they could get things lined up. This is the beginning, kind of the beginning of planning for next year, isn't it?
It is. This is the time of year that we get a lot of people, especially around State Fair time, making a move on a lot of different home improvement projects. I know Andy gets excited for the State Fair and always offers our best, absolute best pricing of the year during the State Fair. So we have free install on a lot of our products. But it's a great time to plan for the spring, for sure.
No sooner did I mention that we don't get a lot of questions about staining a wooden deck or prepping. Here comes a text. It says, good morning. Question about restaining a large cedar deck. I put Sickens on it 5 years ago, and it has worn off in places. The retailer of the product says I don't have to remove it and go over it. I guess it's kind of like the Pennafin, right? I mean, as I recall the directions, you know, you clean up your deck, use the proper prep, and then you can kind of go over it, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, for sure. As long as you're using the same product, you know, there's no question you can just clean it up and fix up the areas that are light and use the same product again. That's absolutely a possibility. And oftentimes, especially Sickens, it's not a cheap product. If you recoat it while it still looks good, you're going to save yourself a lot of headaches. So you're far better off to do it a year early than you are to do it a year late as far as the prep work that you'd have to do. It's the difference between just having to wash it off and recoating it or having to, you know, do sanding where it's already stripped off completely and turned gray. So, yeah, should be able to use the same product. And like I said, next time I wouldn't go 5 years. Maybe I'd go 3 years, put a coat on it, and stay ahead of it. And the job is much, much easier.
Luke, prior to putting another coat of Sickens on, would you use a brightener conditioner to clean things up and then dry it off?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing to use. You've used it. I've used it. It really does a wonders for a deck. In fact, the one I did up here on Lake Vermilion here this spring, I did exactly that. I did some sanding, but then before I did an addition on it. So I had some brand new wood next to some old wood. And so after I did the sanding, I put that brightener on it, and it made all the wood look a lot more even in color, and so that when I put the Pennafin down, it gave it a more even finish. So that brightener conditioner is a great product.
Does work. Hang on, Luke. We're going to take a break and see what that forecast looks like for the rest of the weekend and this coming week. And we'll be back with more. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, especially decks, decking, 651-461-9226. From Newstalk 830, this is WCCO.
Anything?
And welcome back to our Home Improvement Show this morning. Luke Panic is in for Andy Lindis this morning. We're talking, any kind of a home improvement question, but again, zeroing in on decks and decking, porches, if you like. Luke, we've got texters, and let's open up the phone lines, too, if someone would prefer to call 651-461-9226. Text for you, Luke. How do you protect wood stairs to the porch and keep them from being slippery in the winter?
In Minnesota, that's a tough thing to do. If they're not covered, then they need to be cleaned a lot. The snow and ice wants to run off the roof, of course, and get on there, so... And that's a tough job. You know, if you let it freeze and then trying to get the ice off of a deck, it's hard to get the ice off without damaging it. If you put salt on it, then it wants to hard, you know, that's tough on the finish. So it's a tall order. I don't have any secrets for that. If it is a way to get an overhang where you can cover the stairway, that's obviously the best. But having a good product that, again, you stay on top of recoating areas that get a lot of water pressure. In fact, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine, Brian. He's got a deck where he recoated his deck up here with a product called Restore from Cabot's. And I asked him about how that's holding up. I've never heard of Restore. It's a real thick product. And where the water is running off his roof, it's damaging that one board where the rain line is. And so that's oftentimes a board that needs to be done every year because of the water pressure that comes on there. If you don't have a good gutter or something on there, that water pressure really hurts it. That's the same as the staircase. Wherever water comes down and drips and drips and drips, those boards need to be done every single year, I think, in order to keep them looking good.
Yeah, like you said, it's a tough question to answer as far as keeping, unless it's, like you said, enclosed. And I assume, because I've used it, that 3M, you know, that black sticky stuff that's kind of a grit, like sandpaper, but that was an interior wooden stairs.
Yes.
But you can't really use that outside, I presume.
No. I was at a house in northern Wisconsin one time, 2 or 3 years ago, and this person on their front steps had the same type of thing where they were dealing with, you know, slippery out their front door. And they've had these, I don't know who made them or what they're for, but they were like little tread mats that they put on the treads, and they were connected with wires that you fasten them to each other, and they were meant for walking on, and they heated. So they would thaw and stay warm, and, you know, they weren't by any means beautiful, okay, but they were great on the feet to walk on, and they were designed specifically for handling that. So I haven't used them, and I don't know where to get them, but I'm sure a couple of Google searches and you could find it where you kind of like the heating elements, heated wires of some sort. They're electric, and you plug them in, and you can keep your deck thawed if you don't mind the look of them.
If you're just joining us, Luke Panic, filling in for Andy Lindis today. Luke is the deck and porch specialist with Lindis Construction. If you have a question about decks or decking, especially today, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Speaking of slipperiness, what kind of products on the decks that Lindis is installing now, and of course the one Andy talks about all the time, is it not slippery? What materials that you guys are putting on decks now?
Well, probably the best one for grip on the feet is a product that we use called Billboard. And that has a rubber. Yeah, that is a rubber surface that has a really good wood grain in it, texture wise. And it's actually, that particular product is embossed with a oak texture from real oak boards. And it's great on the feet. I would say then you've got your other composites like Azek, which feels more plasticky because it's a polyethylene product. That is good too, but does not handle the ice or the wintertime as good as the Millboard. And any of your, all of your synthetics, everyone, by the way, has to meet a tread standard for ADA. So to be a walking surface for outside use, they all need to meet that requirement. So they're all going to have some sort of a grip to them so they're not slippery. But some are still better than others. You know, just, and it's pretty obvious when you're looking at these samples and you rub your hand on them, or you can put them on the ground and step on them, move your feet around on them, you can tell a difference in them for sure.
Yeah, Andy loves that Millboard, and I guess you do too. Yeah, and we talk about it a lot.
I do.
If you have a question for Luke, 651-461-9226, phone call or text. Here's a text. Listener says, I have a wood shed. Instead of painting it, can I use that Australian oil stain you spoke of?
Absolutely. Since it's wood, it would do the same prep, you know, it'd be the same prep that you would do for a deck floor. You want to, if you're not going back with the same product, you're going to want to get it all off. So getting it cleaned or sanded so that it's ready to accept that new coating. It would be the same advice, except, you know, on a surface like that, it's going to last much, much longer. You're going to get a lot more life out of it because it's, you know, water's not sitting on it. It gets to dry out and it doesn't have the friction from feet and traffic. So, but yeah, absolutely the same process for recoating a woodshed like that.
You know, we talk about, Luke, the leaf guard gutter system, and I know it's not your particular department. You know a lot about them. But a listener wants to know, is there how long of a waiting period would you guess could Lindus put some new leaf guard gutters on a home this year, if that's possible? You have any idea?
I think it's about 14 weeks out right now for putting on gutters, which puts us in the winter. But we've been putting up the leaf guard gutters most winters all year long now. And sometimes we have to come back in the spring to use proper sealants and flashing if there's a little ice on the edge of the roof. But we're able to pretty much install them year-round. So it's not a problem, and it's not too long of a wait.
Well, that's good to know. That's good news. Interesting question I'm looking at now via the text. When does a house become a teardown? The house was built in the 1950s and has had no updates or remodeling. It's been on the market for many months. What do you think of that one?
Well, that's probably a real estate question more than it is a construction question, because one of the things, and you know, I'd have to take a look at the house and determine what are the costs of doing that. And when is it a teardown? Well, you ask yourself, where is it located? Some, you know, if you're in the higher end areas of the Twin Cities, like say you're in Edina, a lot of those houses people buy and they don't care what's on the lot. They just tear it down no matter what and build the house that they want. And some communities obviously aren't going to have that level of income standard. So it depends on where the house is located, I think, because what the ground is worth is something that needs to be considered. If the lot was empty, what is it worth? And what is it worth with that house sitting on it? Sometimes they're similar numbers. So it really is a question of where it's located more so than the condition of the house. In some places, it makes a lot of sense just to fix it up if the land isn't quite as valuable.
Yeah, that makes sense. Interesting enough, I'm looking at another text about a listener wants to get to Lindus to have them build the deck and gutters. And I guess the question is, and this comes from the wife, does the husband need to be around as well when the initial meeting takes place. I guess it helps.
Well, really, well, for sure. And if you think about it, a lot of times these home improvements are anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000. It's hard to make decisions on things by yourself. And the other thing, especially with Linda, said, you know, we do things a little bit differently. Almost always, we are able to, on that initial consultation, when we meet with somebody, we are able to put together everything, meaning we'll put together a design, we'll put together an estimate and diagnose what's wrong and go through products and colors and design. So really, it's impossible, most cases, to make any sort of good decisions on the project if both people aren't there. So we prefer to have everybody there so everybody can see what's going on. Otherwise, here's what happens is you go there and we talk about something and then we leave because the other person isn't there. And then there's all kinds of questions like, well what about this? What about that? Because the person didn't think to ask or that maybe wasn't a concern of theirs. And then they need to go back there anyway. So it's always best to have both people there. Sometimes it's not possible, and it is what it is, but it's always best to have both people there for sure.
That makes sense. I'm not going to mention the big box store names because all three of them are in this particular area. But the listener wants to know, would you use, I assume meaning Linda's, composite floor decking from the big box stores, I guess, versus what you use?
It depends. The millboard that we use, which is our top product, isn't available at any of the big box stores. Now, the other major name brands, TimberTech, AZEK, and Trex, those products are available at almost any lumber yard, whether big box store or small box. You know, those are available anywhere. So we do use products that are available at those stores from time to time. The higher-end products that are better built are not available at the big box store. So it just depends on the product. But, yeah, some of the products that we use are available at those stores you're mentioning.
Very good. Hang on, Luke. We'll take a quick break. Be right back for the remaining minutes of our Home Improvement Show, 651-461-9226. We'll grab some more text messages when we return here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. Filling in for Andy Lindis today is Luke Panik, the deck and porch specialist with Lindis Construction. Luke, I know our time is limited and we've got callers. We have texters. Let's see how many folks we can help before you take your leave. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Gary calling in from Minnetrista, I believe. Gary, thanks for calling. What is your question for Luke?
I built a redwood deck myself probably 50 years ago. The redwood deck part is in good shape. I've treated it frequently. But I use green-treated posts to go down the 4 feet to the frost line, and they're starting to rot out, so my deck is sagging. I've had to prop it up with some blocks, you know, the stringers across the side, and I'm wondering what's the best way to fix that. It's only about 2 or 3 feet off the ground, so it's hard to get down there. Wonder if there's any magic to that, a repair to that.
Well, usually, and what's your name, sir?
That's Gary.
Yes. Gary. So, Gary, one of the things that we could do nowadays is you a lot of times if it's a treated post, it's usually because it's in contact with the ground if it's failed. And what we would typically do is if the deck is all in good shape, we would put some temporary beams under that deck, and we would put new footings and new posts underneath it and then level it as well. And we can actually put in a lot of cases, even though it's only 2 feet off the ground, we're able to put in a helical pier, which is a screw, if you will, for the earth that we screw down into the ground right next to the deck. We can actually get it underneath there and put a new post on it. Excuse me. And so that's oftentimes what we would do. Sometimes we don't even have to remove the old footing because we can put it next to it. It just depends on the deck. But a lot of times we can do that and then stabilize that deck for another 50 years, no problem.
Well, that old redwood can really last a long time, can it?
It is. It's the best wood that's ever been made, in my opinion. And unfortunately, we can't get it like that anymore. But that old redwood, I go on a few redwood decks every year. That they're still great. They don't rot like cedar. They last a long time, and they can be sanded and refinished and look like new too. Yeah.
Amazing. Listener says this via text, we used green-treated deck boards to make a deck years ago. In the meantime, we have been staining it about every other year because nothing stays on it. Now we found out we were not to put any stain on green-treated wood. What would be the best or easiest way to get rid of the stain? After that, do we do anything to it?
Yes, you can, and I've recoated many green treated wood, and it's a false assumption that you can't put a preservative or a stain on green treated wood. You just need to wait until it's dry enough to accept the stain. So green treated wood can definitely be treated, especially older treated wood. Just needs to be dried, and you can sand it and put a preservative on it for appearance. Anytime, and you're not doing it because you're preserving the life of the wood so much as you are having it be an attractive finish.
Okay, I'm looking at another text that says this, Luke, just had a new deck built using Trex. We have a steel umbrella base that rusts, so what can we put under that to prevent the rust stains?
That's a tough one. I don't know. You can put down. What you should not do is put any sort of rubber that can react with the surface of the deck. So rubber is not the answer, but you could, you know, I don't know, possibly some sort of wood, maybe some wood, a treated wood slip sheet, like maybe 3/8 treated wood or marine plywood or something like that to provide some separation and catch that rust stain. But rust is tough. I mean, that will stain things like no other. So that's definitely a challenge. I would look to recoat or refinish that steel and that stand so that that rust doesn't leach out there, probably number one, and stay on top of that because rust is definitely an enemy of the deck for sure.
Here's a painting question for you, Luke. Texter says, I have an outside door with a window. The window has some sort of plastic trim. The paint on that trim piece is not adhering properly and peeling off. What can the plastic be treated with so the paint will stick? What do you think? Some kind of primer?
You know, I assume this is a steel door. They usually have a plastic kind of casing that goes around the window, the insulated glass. Those can be painted. You use a latex product. A latex exterior paint is designed to adhere to, it's a vinyl extrusion is what that is. You can actually paint vinyl siding with latex paint. It should adhere fine. I think the bigger question is, again, just getting it nice and clean so that the paint can adhere to it. But it should stay. When we get new doors from Provia, the doors are pre-finished, and those casing trim around the sashes are all plastic or vinyl, and they come painted right from the factory, and that's what they use. They use a paint like that. So I don't think there's a primer designed or meant for that. Latex paint is usually designed to go right on that plastic with PVC.
Yeah, that's a tough one, though. Interesting question here, Luke. I'm looking at via text. With how much more maintenance they are, why do you think decks are valued more than a patio?
Well, I can tell you for sure that they cost more to replace. Cement is, just pouring a cement patio is far less expensive. Materials, labor, everything is just cheaper. So that's why. They're just not as expensive to replace. They're dramatically less expensive. Oftentimes people will invite me out to their house and they have a situation where the deck is real close to the ground and they want to put a deck in. And as much as I'd like to help them with the deck, a lot of times I'm advising people to put in a slab, a concrete slab. The other nice thing about a slab is that it's tight to the ground, so you don't have everybody's bunny rabbit wanting to live underneath your deck, because critters like to get underneath those cavities as well. And so you really need at least, you know, in my opinion, you need to have at least a 24-inch drop from the threshold of your door to the ground before you start considering a deck, so that if you joist it with a 2x10, you've got a good, you still got a foot of space underneath there for air and stuff to move. But again, that's a situation where, well, it's just ideal for Peter Rabbit and his buddies to live underneath your house. So they typically, we skirt those to the ground so to keep the critters out of the way. But to answer the question, it's the replacement cost is just far less expensive than a deck.
A couple of minutes ago on the show, Luke, good morning, this texter says, what are the current, you kind of touched on it earlier, what are the current composite preferences for decking?
Yeah, number one is millboard, and again, that's because of its appearance, its durability, and its grip on the feet. Then second, I would typically advise to use polyethylene product like AZEK, that doesn't have the sawdust mixed into it. All the products up here that contain sawdust are subject to swelling, and so I like to use boards. When you look at a sample, look at the end of the board and see if there's sawdust mixed in with the PVC. And if it is, I'd recommend using a different product, something that doesn't contain that organic material. They just hold up a lot better with the moisture and the humidity changes that we have here.
Minute to go. Adding, what about the railing system that's available these days? What do you guys like at Lindus?
We've been using a manufacturer called RDI. We recently switched. We used to use a combination of either steel or aluminum railing. Now we've completely gotten away from the steel. We've had too many of them break down with rust, just like our previous caller talked about their umbrella. So we almost exclusively use railings now that are aluminum. And Fortress is a manufacturer that makes a good aluminum railing that's welded. And then RDI is another manufacturer you can Google that makes a
good railing. Sounds good, Luke, and it's always a pleasure. Great to have you back on the show again. I hope to talk to you soon. And we'll be with Andy 1 week today at the fair.
Very good. Danny, take care of yourself. It's good to hear you.
Thanks, Sue. Luke Panic from Lindus Construction. Yeah, Andy and I will be there right on the patio, our own patio, next Saturday from the Minnesota State Fair. Dennis, thank you so much. Thank you for listening.